Glad to see you're feeling better. And hello to everyone on the website as well. You know, we all know the story of how Satan deceived Eve in the garden and how he made her to believe that if she ate of the tree, it wouldn't matter, you know, that she wouldn't die, that she would be like God, actually, and she would be able to determine what was right and wrong. So she took of the fruit because it was pleasing to the eye, it looked good for food, at least to her, in her eyes, but mainly it would make her wise like God. Adam took it also, even though he knew better. But in Proverbs 3:5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding." Trusting in the Lord is eating of the tree of life. But Adam and Eve decided that they would do their own thing, that they would eat of the other tree. And men have been following them down through the ages. And there's nothing that speaks to that fact any more than the season that we've just gone through. I know it's over with. We want to get on with it. We don't want to hear any more about it. But I think it's important for the young people in the church, for new people in the church, to understand why we in the church do not keep Christmas. So what I want to do is I want to show that Christmas is of the wrong tree. It's of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that God doesn't want us to touch that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give some history of the origin of Christmas and then why we shouldn't touch that tree. If you want a title, it'll be Christmas is of the wrong tree. The history of Christmas. Did you know that the pilgrims that came over on the Mayflower landed on Plymouth Rock condemned Christmas? In 1644, it was outlawed in Boston. If anyone was found keeping Christmas, they could be fined 5 shillings, which was a lot of money, or jailed, or openly ridiculed. Why? What did they know that most people don't? Maybe they searched the scriptures and they found that there was no, the New Testament church, there was no evidence of them keeping it. Maybe they figured out that December the 25th was way too cold and rainy for the shepherds to be sleeping out at night when the angel gave them the message that Jesus Christ was born. And that Mary and Joseph would not have been traveling during that time of the year for the census because the Romans were too smart to have people travel in that kind of weather. Maybe they found out how the pagans kept their festival of Saturnalia and the birthday of Mithra, the sun god, on December the 25th during the winter solstice, and how they kept it with a fir tree, with candles, with gift giving, with a lot of food and heavy drinking. And also how they kept on January 1st the festival to Bacchus, the god of wine. Now, maybe they didn't have a ball come down and fall or fireworks going off, but they kept it basically the same way that everybody does, with a lot of drinking. Perhaps they searched the historic records and found that there was no written record of the New Testament church of Christianity keeping Christmas until the late 3rd century. Almost 400 years after Christ's birth, there was no written record of Christianity keeping Christmas. Maybe they found out that the church in Rome simply changed the name of the pagan festival to the Mass of Christ, Christmas, in order to get the pagans in, hoping to change them, but they simply accepted it. What was their source? I don't really know, but they got it right. But I do have to tell you what my sources are. History.com on the internet gives a lot of this information. That's the History Channel. Good News Archives on Christmas. I got some information there. Past sermons by ministers. But here's a book that I've had for about 40 years. And it's entitled The Two Babylons. And it was written by Alexander Hislop back in 1916. And he takes Christmas all the way back to Nimrod. Yeah, the Nimrod in Genesis 10. Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the word before can be interpreted against, and that's exactly what he was, against the Lord. He was a king. He built cities. He built Babel. He built Nineveh. The tower itself was open defiance to God. When God looked down, saw what they were doing, he confused their tongues. His subjects worshipped him. They deified him. But after he was killed, his wife Semiramis furthered the deification by spreading a myth that suddenly out of a dead, burned-out log sprouted a tree, a live tree, showing that he was reborn. And every year, as the myth goes, he would return on his birthday, which was December the 25th. And he would return as a tree with gifts for children. A tree with gifts. Sounds interesting. Sounds similar, doesn't it? But let me read you from the Two Babylons a quote showing what the tree actually represents. Now, that after having fallen before his enemies, he had risen triumphant over them all. Therefore, the 25th of December, the day that was observed at Rome as the day when the victorious God reappeared on earth and was held at the Natalis Invicti Solis, the birthday of the unconquered sun. Now the Yule log, and remember this season is called Yule season, Yule in Chaldean is little child. The Yule log is the dead stock of Nimrod, deified as the sun god, but cut down by his enemies. The Christmas tree is Nimrod redivivus, the slain god come back to life again. Isn't it amazing how clever Satan is and how he has had people play out this myth in their own homes all over the world? It just proves what Revelation 12:9 says, that he deceives the whole world. But Christmas is of the wrong tree because it's a counterfeit. Just as the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is a counterfeit of the tree of life, so Christmas is a counterfeit of God's holy days and festivals. It has good, family, friends, giving, and as Eve said, it's pleasing to the eye. Good for food. At least there's always a lot of good food. But it's a mixture. Just as the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is a mixture of good and evil, so is Christmas. It's evil because it takes the focus off of God's holy days and festivals and puts them somewhere else. It puts it on the Christ child rather than the death of Christ. God's holy days is revealed in Leviticus 23, starts with the festival of Passover, which Passover puts the focus on Jesus Christ. The reason he was born, to pay for our sins, to pay the incredible sacrifice, did an incredible sacrifice to pay the enormity of the sin that we have committed, to pay an incredible price for that. He came and it took the focus off of that and put it on a little sweet child. God's holy days spell out God's plan for salvation. In Leviticus 23:2, God tells Moses to tell the people of Israel, "These are my feasts. They are holy convocations." And a holy convocation is a commanded assembly. A godly commanded assembly. So we're commanded to keep it. We're commanded to observe those days, to come together. Nowhere in the Bible is Christmas commanded. But yet if you look in the New Testament, you can see where Christ and the apostles kept the Old Testament holy days in Leviticus 23. Christmas is of the wrong tree because it disobeys God's command not to worship him as the pagans do, worship their gods. So let's turn to Deuteronomy 12, 30 to 32, and we'll read where God tells Israel, do not worship me like the pagans did. Deuteronomy 12, 30 to 32. Take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, how do these nations serve their gods? I also will do likewise. And this is out of the New King James. You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way, for every abomination to the Lord which he hates, they have done to their gods. Let's skip down to 32. Whatever I have commanded you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it nor take away from it. Don't mix pagan worship in with it at all. Do it the way that I tell you to do it. I'm the one that determines how I should be worshipped. Christmas is of the wrong tree because it's a tradition of men. Let's turn to Mark 7. Mark 7, 9 to 13. Mark 7, 9 to 13. This is where the Pharisees came up and challenged Jesus Christ because his disciples weren't washing their hands after they went to the market. They were breaking the tradition of the elders. So in verse 9, he said, all too well you reject the commandments of God that you may keep your traditions. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man say to his father or mother, whatso profit you may have received from us, from me, is Corban. That is a gift to God. In other words, I've decided to give this to the church. And going on, it says, then you no longer let them do anything for their parents, for your parents, making the word of God of no effect through your traditions which you have handed down. Keeping Christmas, it not only dishonors God, it's worshiping him in vain. The Xmas tree is Nimrod tree, and I call it the Nimrod bush, is more what it really should be called, because Christ is not in this season. Xmas is of the wrong tree because it is a symbol of defiance, just as the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It is a symbol of defiance with roots that go all the way back to Babylon and its rebellious pagan system of worship. It is of the wrong tree because it is a tradition of men inspired by Satan, and God doesn't want us to have anything to do with it. But what God does want us to do is to eat freely of the tree of life. Eating freely of the tree of life is trusting God that he knows what's best for us and that he knows how we should worship him. By taking of the tree of life, we will bear the fruit eventually as we continue to eat of it, of eternal life. So, brethren, let's continue to eat of the tree of life.